Welcome to Let's Talk Sales, the podcast that's all things sales and business development. This podcast series is for CEOs that are looking to build strong companies, sales VPs and managers that want to take things to the next level, and salespeople that are looking to improve. And this podcast is brought to you by Calavia, the sales playbook platform made for your team by your team. The Calavia Sales Playbook houses your company's best practices, templates, and processes. And it also functions as an online sales training academy for existing and new hires. Learn more at calavia.com. That's C-O-L-L-A-V-I-A.com. Today's podcast is part of our Sales Leaders Talk Sales series, where we talk about business growth and lessons learned with top sales leaders. This is Rebecca Smith of Criteria for Success, and today I'm talking to Robert Weiss, president of Multivision Digital. And just to share a little bit about Robert and what his company does, Multivision Digital is a digital marketing company specializing in developing and executing video content marketing strategies to increase sales, lead generation, and client loyalty. And Robert has had years of expertise and a senior staff of talented individuals. Multivision Digital's video content marketing services include concept and budget planning, producing, planning, scripting, storyboarding, talent and editing, and YouTube optimization services, among other things. But Robert, please tell me a little bit more about you and what you do, if you'd like to expand.
I know. It sounds like I do a lot.
It sounds like you must be busy.
Yeah, a little bit, right? Thank you for having me this morning.
I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you for joining us today. Yeah. I can't wait to talk and pick your brain. And I think our audience is in for a good podcast.
Let's do it.
So then let's back up. I'd love for us to start with one of your earliest sales memories, whether that was good or bad. Mm-hmm. So spill it.
So I actually had two that I was thinking about. And the first one was when I first came to New York, I worked for IMG and I was in licensing. I wasn't even in technology yet. And I was like the new guy on the block. I was 27 years old. Working for the largest sports marketing company in the world and really trying to make a name for myself. And so you could sell the clients that we already had, sell licenses for them, but really if you went out and got your own account, your own client, that's really where, you know, you kind of made a name for yourself. So okay, that's the first thing that I did is a company called Paris Blues. This is, you know, back in the 90s now.
Nice.
It was a junior's jeans company.
Okay.
But being, you know, 27, 28 years old and, you know, being able to secure that client was a huge success. Now, we didn't even make any money yet. We just got the license, mm-hmm. right? And then we had to go out and sell it. Of course, we did. And we had like one of the largest deals in the U.S. division through Paris Blues. So that was attributable to me. So I was really happy with that.
Very cool.
Then when I got into technology, I worked for a internet development company. This is back in the heyday where, you know, everybody was building stuff. You were, you know, selling websites with content management systems for like $1.3 million, mm-hmm. which you can get for what, like, you know, 50 grand today.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. So, because nothing was built.
Yeah.
And I was walking a trade show, which I still do today, developing relationships. And this one particular client was in need of, you know, a full website redesign, content management system, database infrastructure, some email sending, and it was about like $1.3 million that we got. So that was a huge win back then.
Nice. So, that's awesome.
And I've had lots of failures too, so too many to count.
Well, the failures are, we all love to hear those. I think all people in business, CEOs, sales managers, salespeople, marketing people, we all like to hear other people's bad experiences because it makes us feel better about ourselves,
yes.
right? So if there's any really really hard ones that you want to share, feel free. I mean,
well, I don't know if there's any hard ones that I could remember right now, because
okay.
I've blocked them out. Right? But we've all had them,
yeah.
where, you know, you've submitted you know, a proposal and you're waiting and you go through the, you know, all the different rounds. And, you know, you're down to the last two and you've lost,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sometimes they tell you, most of the times they don't. So you
yeah.
kind of never know.
Yeah.
So I think we've all been through that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you pick yourself up and move on.
That's the goal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to have a strong backbone to be in this business.
Yeah. And also the name of the game is, you know, to make sure that one particular opportunity you know, you're not, you know, it's not heavily weighted on your numbers, mm-hmm. you know, or your revenue, right? So sure. you've got multiple opportunities happening. And, you know, that's a salesperson's dream where you've got multiple opportunities. So if one falls, doesn't come in, you're okay.
So one of the things I hear you saying there too is that adapting to change is key with this type of thing. And since this month we're talking about change, I think
change is good.
Change is good. Change is a good thing. So what role has business development played in your career so far?
Everything. It's everything. You know, since I started at, you know, when I got into my professional career at IMG, I was a licensing agent, but basically I was in sales. So I had to get the licensor and also then sell the licensor to licensees. So I was almost like kind of a dual-ended salesperson on both ends.
Okay.
When I got into the internet, same thing. You know, web development startup, was on the phone, you know, making phone calls, going to trade shows. So I've been in sales biz dev my whole career. Mm-hmm. When I started my own company 7 years ago, I started with nothing. Like zero revenue, not even any experience in video because my background is in technology. So I needed to develop business, you know, and go out and sell. Yeah. So, you know, it still plays a role. And I think we'll, I don't even think, I know it will always play a role. So I'm hiring a person right now. And I get a lot of resumes. Let me backtrack just for a moment. So I get a lot of, you know, resumes email to me. They want a job around video production or editing.
Sure.
So a resume came in a couple months ago. They want to learn the business of video. And I'm like, great. I mean, I could teach you that. And plus I need that on my team. So we spent the last couple of weeks negotiating and stuff like that. And he's just started recently. And the one thing I said to him, if you want to learn the business of anything, you need to learn how to sell. And that's the first thing, because if you have no money coming in, you don't have a business.
Yes.
And that's the first thing. You know, you can have a product, but you're not selling it, you have no business.
Yep.
So that's what we're focused on right now. His background is film. He graduated from a film school. And I told him, you know, 20-25% will be in production, but, you know, 75-80% is going to be in sales and marketing, and you need to learn how to sell. So that's what we've been focusing on for the last couple of weeks, and we'll continue to focus on for the next couple of months.
Very interesting. And that leads into the next question, which is, do you believe that we're all salespeople? And I don't know where you're going to go with this yet, but just using that example of this guy coming to you who has this experience in film, and now he's transitioning into his professional career and realizing, wow, I've got to know how to sell. So, so what do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
I think the answer is yes, right? Because selling is very different than what it was even 5 or 10 years ago, right? So,
oh, it's changed.
Changed, yes.
And a lot since the 90s too, and the 80s. And
the 70s and the, everything. So I think it's more of a buyer's world.
Okay.
And selling today is number one, informing and educating, you know, having, you know, building relationships, but really just being agile to what the buyer is going through. And every buyer is going to be different, right? And that's whether it's one buyer or a team of buyers. They have their process. They have access to information at every single stage of the sales cycle or the buying cycle, whatever you want to call it, right? So where is the selling? There is no selling anymore, right? It's just being available to the buyer's needs. And so I go to a lot of trade shows. One of the industries that I focus on is manufacturing, right? And typically at these trade shows, the manufacturers will have a couple of their machines there and their engineers or their technicians, right? And their engineers or technicians are on the floor. So when people come over to their booth, they answer questions. They'll point to the machine. They'll talk about different things. And the engineers and technicians will be the one selling.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
They're not really selling. They're just answering questions.
Sure.
That's it. But that's selling today.
Yep.
So I think if you can do that, then absolutely everybody's a salesperson.
That's awesome. And what a great example and real life example for people to hear back on. I love it.
No, let me just also kind of, you know, take that one step further. because there are examples of this in, I think, every industry. Mm-hmm. When a quote-unquote salesperson, right, develops a lead and it's a very technical sale, that could be software, hardware, even accounting firms, right? You typically have a business development person and then you'll bring the accountants with them who are the technical team, right? Mm-hmm. So when that lead develops, the expertise, quote unquote, will come with the salesperson and sit next to the salesperson. And are they selling? Mm-hmm. No, they're not salespeople,
yeah,
but they make the sale. They're the ones that close the deal.
Definitely. You've just reminded me of a YouTube video that I'm not sure if you've seen. Selling is service, service is selling. Have you seen that?
I have not seen it, no.
All right. If you haven't seen it or anyone listening has not seen it, please go on YouTube.
Just wait till the end of the podcast, though.
Wait till the end of the podcast. This is purely for entertainment value. Selling is service, service is selling. This small, I think it's a pawn shop, actually. They put together this little YouTube video. They made up a song and everything, and it actually went viral. So much so that these just normal people in this store were getting recognized on the street, and they were kind of getting famous. So someone went back and actually blurred out some of their faces because they didn't want the attention. They were just doing it as a promo ad, as a video promotion to get more people to come into their store.
I guess it worked.
It worked. Yeah. They went viral with it. So, that's cool. But now I want to hear a little bit about lessons and what one of the hardest lessons has been that you've learned so far in your career.
Patience.
Patience. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, really patience. When you're just starting out, I mean, there's a couple of use cases here. Like when you're just starting out, or your job or your company, or you're hitting a rough quarter, you know, or month or whatever, you know.
Oh,
you
that never happens. Yeah.
So you're like, you know, it's got to happen now.
Yeah.
And just to have like patience and just keep on doing what you're doing. So one of my old managers, he says, you got to shoot to get hot. You got to shoot to stay hot. Mm. Right.
Nice.
So in the middle, just, you know, keep on doing what you're doing and have patience. And yeah, I guess a little faith would be good too.
Perseverance.
Absolutely perseverance.
Yeah.
But I think the lesson, like I've always had like perseverance and grit, but not necessarily the patience.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, now I've got a little bit more patience with companies. I'm a little bit more, you know, comfortable with my company and my product and its abilities to know that we have a great product. If they want to purchase after I've presented everything, then they'll come back.
That's great. Now, when you've run into this patience issue or you've run into opportunities where things kind of were stalled out or whatever the case may be, did you have any support or resources that helped you through that challenge? Or when you do go through challenges, what do? Where do you turn?
Yeah. So that's a hard question because I don't really know. I don't know that I had a lot of like mentors,
okay,
you know, throughout my career. And okay, I'm not really like a book person to go and kind of seek wisdom. But I think it's more, you know, thinking about it now and having to answer, it's grit and determination.
So it's kind of just looking inward and saying, all right, what can I do to get past this, get through it,
yeah,
and
just,
working through
just
it?
Just do it.
Yeah.
You know, just do it. So
you're your own coach.
Basically.
I love it.
Gotta get it done.
Push through it.
Yeah. You know.
So then that goes kind of, it leads right into what we were talking about. And you mentioned, you know, I'm not very good with patience, but I recognize that it's something. Is there anything else that you're not very good at?
Yeah.
So, and in the context of business and things that kind of might hold you back with your career, is there anything that kind of you run up against that's a real challenge that might help our audience to connect with?
I think getting out of learning new things, right? So we've all had a career up to some point and we've done one thing. So again, for me, it's business development, right? Mm-hmm. I've been in sales. So for me to pick up the phone, going out, meeting people is great, but I'm running my own business now. So I can't spend all the time on the phone doing stuff. I need to blog and I need to write and I need to do HR stuff and I need to do some of the, you know, like the business planning side, right? I need to create processes that are not there now. And I'm not really good at that. So, and it's been a hard shift over the last, I would say, 2 years, right? Because my business has grown, to stop picking up the phone and be comfortable with it. Because even now, sometimes when I'm not picking up the phone, I'm not selling and marketing, I get jittery. Like, I need to do this. You know, it's like, you know, if I'm shooting for like 3 days, like I need to get on the phone like that next day, you know, and bang out like 30 or 40 calls, because that's what I know how to do.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. But that's not always is what is needed in my business at the moment. Right. Okay. So I'm still not great at that, but getting better at that.
Yeah. So just figuring out that balance and not fearing that you'll lose momentum.
Correct.
Because that's something that I think a lot of us struggle with and feel is that, you know, if you don't make calls or you're not visiting people for a couple of days and you get out of that routine, getting back into it is a little bit harder.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. It's about losing that momentum. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a stride, you have your mojo, right? And things are great. You know, you've had a couple good wins.
Yeah.
And then you go do something else and, you know, then you got to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, oh, you go to the gym for a couple weeks.
Exactly.
And then you're on vacation, you don't go to the gym at all. To get back to the gym, it's hard.
It's kind of amazing how skipping the gym for 2 or 3 days suddenly turns into, well, I can't do this anymore. I forgot what this was like. Yeah. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, what are you really great at?
I don't know. I wish I knew the answer to that because I would do more of it.
Oh, you great. Know? Well, then I have a recommendation for you. There's a website that where you can test your strengths and weaknesses and figure out where you're strong and where you're weak. So we'll talk about that.
Okay.
And for our listeners, we will put this in the show notes for today's podcast as well. If you would like to find out where your strengths and weaknesses lie.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something I'm still learning, you know, what I'm good at.
Well, I would say you're good at sales. You're great at sales. You're great at building relationships from what I know of you and the ways that in which we've met, and we met through networking. You're a great networker.
I'll take that.
So I'll speak for you.
It's also that whole garbage in, garbage out thing, right?
Sure.
So, you know, you also have to be open to accepting, you know, thanks and gratitude and, you know, thank you for that compliment. You know, maybe I am better at that than I think I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and accepting that. So I think we're all, most of us anyway, because, you know, not the egotistical ones, you know, but a lot of us, you know, are a little bit humble, right? In terms of, you know, thinking of what we're good at.
Sure.
But sometimes we shouldn't be.
Sure.
Right? And accepting a compliment and being like, yeah, I am good at that, and being proud. That doesn't mean you're an ass about it, right? But that just means you're proud at it so you can do it better. There's a book called Now Discover Your Strengths, which is a big believer of that, right? And it's basically, you know, don't try to fix things that you're not good at and kind of spend and waste time, but double down on what you're good at so you can become better at it, you know, and like, you know, a superstar in that. So
nice. Yeah. Well, that was what I was going to ask you next, was for a book recommendation.
Okay.
So that's a good one. Do you have any others that you really love or that you continue to go back to?
Good to Great.
Good to Great.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an oldie but goodie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the hedgehog principle.
Okay.
Or the hedgehog concept.
Yeah.
I think it's the principle. I've really, like, that's been a cornerstone of my business, right? Because with video, it's adopting. There's so much to do with video. Even now that it's so pervasive, you know, YouTube has got gazillion views like every day, right? You see video everywhere. It's still just starting, right? And there's so much to do. So throughout the last 7 years, people have asked me, oh, do you do social media? Do you do websites? You know, do you do email marketing? Do you do SEO? I'm like, I do that for my company, but for you, I only do video, right? So could have been like one of those companies that you go to their service page and there's like, you know, 30 different services up there or even five, right? But no, we've stayed focused on video. And I think that's helped us over the years to say no to some of those things. So, you know, good to great is where that hedgehog principle came from.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So you applied that to your own business and found that it really, I mean, obviously it's worked out very, very well for you.
And going deep.
I think too, we're so easily pulled into doing more than what we can handle as well. And I think having a niche business is very smart. Mm-hmm. So,
well, especially cool. In the beginning too.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that that the book says is, like, you know, be an expert, go down deep, and then you can kind of spin off into other opportunities, but only when you're an expert.
Sure.
And even though I would say that I think we are an expert in what we do, there's still a lot more learning to go, mm-hmm. and a lot more to do, and a lot more accomplishment in terms of processes to put in within the various aspects of what we do for our clients now.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's always room for improvement and change and growth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So now, what is one piece of wisdom that you'd like to pass along to our audience?
Wow. Piece of wisdom. I don't know. Do you have to be a certain age to qualify what you say as wisdom?
You don't, because I live by the mantra, everyone has something to teach and something to learn.
Yeah.
And so if you had one thing to impart, I want to hear what that one thing would be.
And I'll go back to the patience.
Okay.
You know, 'cause that's really, really helped me be mm-hmm. different. Mm-hmm. It comes with, you know, before you get to patience, it comes with hard work, grit, determination, knowing your craft, right? So it's not just, oh, be patient, mm-hmm. you know, but you need to do things in order to get to the point where you can be patient. And then when you are patient, you'll see things like differently, mm-hmm. you know, because again, you'll know your craft, you'll know your value propositions, you know, your company's value, and you know, that one opportunity that doesn't come in, okay, no big deal. Got more. And that's patience.
Wisdom right there.
That's
see?
Wisdom.
Now, here at CFS, we talk quite a bit about sales playbooks, as you know, and you're familiar with. And we're always looking for tips for our CEOs that are listening in and our sales managers and salespeople that they can also share in their playbooks with their team. Mm-hmm. What is one actionable tip, or if you have more, that's great, that our listeners might consider adding to their playbooks?
Video.
Yes. A video marketing strategy. I would take that even further.
Video or a sales video strategy. Forget about the word marketing.
There you go.
We're talking sales now,
we are.
Right?
True.
So I think that's one of the myths about video is people say video marketing.
Okay.
But what about sales?
I like that.
So think about the example of the technicians that I was talking about. You know, mm-hmm. you have all these technicians who are the quote unquote salespeople of the organization because they're answering questions mm-hmm. that are common to getting the sale through, right?
Yes.
So what about putting a camera up in front of all your technical team, your engineers, right? And getting them just to answer common questions in the sales process. And instead of that PDF that no one's gonna look at, that's all fluff and marketing, mm-hmm. these are more blocking and tackling sales questions. So
that is awesome. That was such a great tip. And something so practical for people to start thinking about right
now.
Too
bad it's at the end of the podcast.
Well, hopefully everyone is still listening.
Yes, hopefully so. And they got
that. Take this,
they got that nugget.
And they can take this with them. And I especially love this idea and concept because we put a lot of attention on our video strategy for 2018 and kind of pocketing what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. And absolutely, the only way we're going to accomplish it is by putting it in our sales playbook to make sure that our entire team can see what it is that we're trying to do and be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And using it.
You know, video is digital, right? So there's certain tracking mechanisms, you know, you can set up with video. But just by, you know, having your salespeople utilize it every single day instead of that PDF,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, and not only that, but you get your technical team, your engineering team that is typically behind the salesperson out in front of your salesperson in front of your client.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people that are going to implement the solution. So there's a level of, you know, trust, relationship, familiarity, information, education there that you can get with video. And what sale does not need that? So
definitely. Well, This has been awesome. I could definitely talk to you about video all day long. And for those of you that are listening in that want to learn more about video, Robert actually presented a webinar for Criteria for Success in November. Well, I guess it was technically late October. Yes. In late October, you can find that on criteriaforsuccess.com. If you click on free resources, you can watch that replay of Robert's webinar there. And you want to share a little bit more about what you talked about on that webinar?
It was all about how to devise a strategy, some common questions that inhibit people from executing on video, like how much does it cost? You know, how long should a video be? And also talking a little bit about strategy of like how to budget for a video strategy, right? So you get the sales videos, so you get the marketing videos, so you get the FAQ videos, the corporate overview, and kind of looking at video not as a, you know, one size fits all one video investment, but more of a, you know, multiple times production, mm-hmm. you know, with video.
Definitely. Well, it's a great webinar. Please be sure to check that out.
It's one of the best.
It's one of the best. He said it himself. And Robert, thank you so much for being here
today.
This has been great.
Hope everybody enjoyed the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. You can find the notes for today's show at criteriaforsuccess.com/pod13. Tune in next week when we'll continue the conversation about change. And all month we're writing about change on the CFS blog, so be sure to check it out at criteriaforsuccess.com/blog. Speaking of, if you have questions or you want to know something related to sales or to change and harnessing this, embracing this idea of change, we would love for you to submit your questions via social media using the hashtag AskCFS. That's short for Criteria for Success. Or you can email your questions to us at podcast@criteriaforsuccess.com. You could even send a short voice memo if you'd like to submit your question that way. Let's Talk Sales is a production of Criteria for Success and is produced by Rebecca Smith, Ariana Miskell, and Elizabeth Frederick. Please subscribe to this podcast at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to shows. Ratings and reviews help other people to find us, so please help us out. Happy selling!